Hello and welcome to Why Running, a podcast where we share stories, tips, and advice to inspire and motivate you on your running journey. I'm your host, Rina Mihaila, and in this episode, I'm joined by a very special guest who you may recognize from Instagram, where she talks about slow running, plant-based nutrition, and mental health. She has been running since 2019, and she's now training for her first ultra, and she's also in the process of launching a very exciting running project. Welcome to Why Running, Emily Shane. Hello, Emily.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm excited.
I mean, your content is very much centered around slow running. And what I really love is that you're open about how hard running can be sometimes, especially during training. How have you learned to slow down and embrace slow running and step away from the idea of constantly trying to increase your speed and run faster?
It was really hard at first, just because I assumed that you had to run like really fast on every single run that you went on. Otherwise, it was pointless. So it took a lot of learning and kind of like undoing bad habits, like actually physically, but then also like mentally, when you're kind of hard on yourself if a run's not going as it should be. And there wasn't at the time anyone on social media that I thought that I came across anyway. I'm sure there was someone that had the same feelings that I was having when I started running, which was that I followed all these like athletes and incredible like fitness content creators, and they're amazing, and I still follow them to this day and I'm inspired by them, but I didn't really relate to them at all. So when I started running and I realized it was a lot of trial and error. I remember there was one moment that I had, and I'd been running for a few months at this point, where it was like, okay, maybe I should just go out and run as slow as I possibly can and just see if I can run 3K without like fighting for my life. And I did that, and I think my pace was like just over 8 minutes per kilometer, and it was such a good run. And I, at that point, I was like, oh, okay, like there's more to running than just feeling like you need to be really fast all the time. Because I think that's when I really started to get the kind of like mental benefits from running, is going at my own pace, and you can focus more on, it's more of like a meditative thing for me doing it that way than trying to run out, because run really fast, because otherwise you're just focusing on how hard it is and how horrible you feel, that you don't really get the nice side of running, which does exist. It took a while to uncover, I guess.
Yeah. You talk a lot about this idea of going for a run to enjoy it and to have fun over chasing PBs. Do you feel like if you didn't slow down, you wouldn't have discovered this side of running?
Yeah, I think if I hadn't have slowed down, I think I would have stopped. That's one of the problems that I had. Like I've tried to run since 2019 when I first started. I did my first half marathon and I trained for that all wrong. I didn't have a training plan. I didn't know anything about running. I wasn't really seeking like educational content either, to be fair, so it was probably all on me, but I just really didn't enjoy it. And then that's why I quit, and I finished that half marathon. I only did it because I did it with a couple of my best friends and we just thought it'd be a laugh, and it wasn't a laugh. It was far from it. It was horrendous. And then I didn't run, you know, consistently until last year. I kind of tried to pick it back up again in between, but because I was going out and just running at a pace that is not comfortable for me, I just quit, because it was too hard and I just didn't see a way that it would be easier and that I was actually a runner. So yeah, when I finally realized that it's not all about running fast and there's way more of the things that you can get from running, and I did slow down, that it completely changed my mindset towards running. So yeah, there's, if I hadn't have slowed down, I think I would have quit a long time ago.
What tips would you give to your younger self and to someone who would want to slow down and get into slow running, maybe to also, you know, run longer distances? Because I feel like that's the key, really. A lot of people don't see themselves running a half marathon or a marathon for that reason, because they think that they should be running it at the pace that they run a 5K.
I think following other people, because I think now there's quite a few people online that are more open about their running journey and are slower or a beginner runner, and they've each got their own journey. So I think following people like that is really beneficial, because then you're not just seeing these like super fit people on your feed all the time. And because we're constantly consuming so much from our phones, that it would be good to have other people like that that you can see and relate to, just so that you know that you're not alone, because that's the feeling. That's how I felt. I just felt like I was just a terrible runner. So realizing that there was way more people going through the same thing that I was really comforting, and it made me want to embrace the slower side of things a bit more. I would also say, I have obviously used a training plan for a while, but there were points where I didn't really know what my comfortable pace was. So I would go out with no training plan, no real plan on how far I was going to run. I just knew that I was going to go out and run as slow as possible and see. I think at that point, I said before, I was struggling with like a 3K is where I really got fatigued. So I knew that that was the point where I was really struggling. So I just went out really slow, and I was like, if I can get past 3K and feel fine, then I know that that is like my true easy pace. Because I think you don't really know what your kind of fun pace is until you go out and do it. And it feels really strange at first. I remember like I felt like I was jogging on the spot and not moving at all when I went out and ran that super slow pace, because it's not something that I tried to do before. So I would say, yeah, go out and just run. It should feel like weirdly slow, I think. That's how I felt at the time, because I was just had never done that before. So go out and run like weirdly slow. It should feel like you're jogging on the spot. And you should be able to push past the point that you were struggling with before. And it should feel like mentally, it just feels better. It just feels like a completely different kind of run. And I also think start slow with the goals as well. Like I think when I first started my journey, I did jump the gun a bit, in a sense that I'd just been able to run 6K without stopping, and then I booked a marathon, which is like not everybody wants to do that, and that's fine. But I gave myself a year to train. So within that, I did like a 5K plan, then I did a 10K, and then I did a half marathon, and I gave myself so much time, and I was really patient with myself as well. I think that's another big thing is running, you know, even if you're running slowly, it's still hard. It's not a completely easy thing to do. So I think just giving yourself patience and knowing that you're already doing more than enough because you're out there challenging yourself and setting goals, which is a big thing in itself as well. And it also the mental side of it is such a big thing. Like every time you go out for a run, you're building up your mental resilience. So don't always look at the stats in Strava, like, you know, maybe your pace isn't increasing, but are you enjoying the run more? Can you go out for longer? Are you crying less on your runs? I used to cry a lot on my runs in marathon training anyway, just because it was so emotionally draining. Yeah, I think just take it easy and be very patient and spend time trying to find that slower pace, because it takes a bit of time to unlearn everything that you thought you knew about running, I guess.
I think this also gives you the chance to, as you said, experiment and discover what you like, discover kind of your easy pace, as you said, because it's just so hard to even disconnect from everything and stop worrying about your pace and about getting a PB when you're so into that mindset on a fast run. So I think it really gives you an opportunity to just reflect and have fun and yeah, not take it as seriously.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, like running is such a personal thing. And that's another thing I didn't know. I didn't understand the different reasons that people run. I thought people just ran to, you know, get a PB every time or to complete a race or whatever. But there's so many other reasons that people run. And now, like speaking to people on Instagram and stuff, I'm so much more aware of running isn't just good for, you know, the vanity numbers and stuff. There's so many other things that go into it.
I completely agree. I mean, you have more than 100,000 followers on Instagram and almost 20,000 followers on TikTok, which is a huge amount of people. Do you sometimes find it hard to believe that so many people come to you for inspiration?
Yeah, I think it's more that I've never considered myself to be a particularly like sporty or fit person. Like even at school, I was never really like I hated PE. I didn't do any of the sport. I didn't do any after school sports or anything like that. So I think the fact that I'm essentially now one of these people that I used to watch, because I always loved watching really, I mean, people that are way fitter than me, like Nutty Foodie Fitness, who just finished her second Ironman. Like, I could never, but love like keeping up with their journeys and stuff. So for me to be in a similar space to those people is really cool. Yeah, it is strange, but it also, because everyone is so nice, and it's more just about sharing knowledge and learning, I guess people learning from my experience, but also I think the main thing is that people relate to it a lot, and I quite like being relatable for someone else, because I think people like me who have never been particularly sporty, I've not really excelled in like any sport or anything, and I'm totally fine with that, but I think we think that that is the minority of people because what we see online, but actually we are the majority of people. And trying to spread that message is something that I'm really keen and passionate to do, because it just makes you feel better about everything that you're doing. Sometimes you feel like you're not doing enough, you're not fast enough, you're not this and you're not that. But being like, these people that you've followed for years are really cool, but they're a tiny, tiny percentage of what runners are actually like. And I love being in between that space and helping people out that way.
You're so right. And I feel like now we're starting to see more people who create realistic content on social media, which is great because it used to be such a discouraging place to go to. You would see just very fit people who were running super fast or having the latest running gear. And it was a bit intimidating. Like you would feel, oh, I would never be able to be like them or run like them or look like them. So it was a bit discouraging.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's now great that you've got this beautiful community. In the beginning, though, did you feel a bit apprehensive about sharing this kind of stuff, about opening up about slow running? Did you think that people might not get on board with this idea?
I think I felt I remember the first time I posted something, I actually started posting on TikTok. And I posted a carousel of just some of my like Strava times. And at that point I wasn't running any further than like 5 or 6K. And I don't know if it's like English Northern put like girl in me, but I've got quite like a self-deprecating sense of humor. Which is kind of a good thing and a bad thing. So I was just like, oh, I'll just post my really crap times and it'll be funny and I'll just see what happens. And that post, I think it ended up getting 500,000 views or something. And I got loads of followers on TikTok from that one post. And that was then I kind of realized. And then the comments, people were just basically saying that they really related to it and they were all really positive. And then there was a few people that were like, this is walking or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of goes over my head at this point. But because the response from that post was so positive, it kind of made me realize, oh, okay, it's not just me. There's so many other people out here. There is always like a slight bit of apprehension, even still now, even though I've been doing this for, I mean, it's not that long in the grand scheme of things, but just over a year now. You always have that little thing before you're going to post, especially if it's a post that you really care about, just because as so many eyes are on it, and I hate being the center of attention in like daily life. So it can be, but I think overall it's been like a pretty positive thing, and I haven't felt too scared to like, I haven't quit, so that's a positive.
I mean, it's so personal. I think most of us just run, and you know, we may have a few friends on Strava, but that's about it. And I think it's so personal to just put that out there and say, look, this is my pace, this is my run, this is, you know, this is my bad day, because sometimes we've got bad days and we still go for a run, and it might not be the greatest run, but it's still, you know, an okay-ish run. So I think that's so brave, you know, that you started doing this, and now you're empowering so many people to run and really not think that much about, you know, their pace or you know, being super fast. You've obviously got so many posts that have gone viral throughout this time. What is the one thing that you are the most proud of since becoming a content creator?
I think there's a couple of things. I think the number one thing is being able to post consistently is really hard, especially when I first started, I had a full-time job. Well, I was working 4 days a week whilst also doing my other freelance marketing on the side, and then doing the Instagram where I was posting 3 days a week. So just that amount of work and things to think about was really hard at the time. And I don't think I actually realized how hard it was until I went freelance full time and I had a bit more of like flexibility of my schedule and stuff. And I was kind of like, wow, that was a crazy, few months. I think my ability to show up and show the good and the bad is a thing that's I've like it feels very personal to me, and it feels very real, and I'm glad that I've been able to keep that since I've had my Instagram, because I think that's something that people really like about my channel, is it is very honest. But there's things that I keep out because maybe it's too honest. But for the most part, I'm able to share the good and the bad, and really show my personality, which I think is quite hard to do on social media sometimes, because it is so, what's the word? Vulnerable to put those parts of your personality out there and have people kind of like slate you for. I mean, it's not, it's not that deep. It's just running. But being able to kind of to do that and to help people has been really cool. And then just the community, like I do quite a few posts where I'll encourage people to kind of comment and chat in the comments with each other. And there was I was on holiday, and there was I got a message from, I think it was some girls in Sweden, and they'd met through one of the posts that I'd done, and they'd started their own like little club. And I was in Sweden at the time as well, but I wasn't in the same area. It was just like a coincidence that I was on holiday there. And I just thought that was so cool that people have met through me. And hopefully they'll be able to continue that, and they're, like great friends, and their little run club can grow. But just being able to kind of have that power of having a lot of similar people in one place, and also sharing their own perspectives and experiences and stuff has been really, really cool. And just to create that kind of sense of community has been really nice when you've kind of felt like a bit of an outsider in like the fitness space for like your whole life.
And I think the impact is so much bigger than you can imagine, because there's probably hundreds of people out there who see your content and go for runs together, or plan like a little running group or something. And I think you're probably unaware of these because they don't always like tell you about it or like go into your comments. But so many there's so, probably so many people out there that you inspire every day, which I think it's amazing. And it's the great thing about social media. Obviously it's got its downsides, but I feel like this is the positive side of it, and it's just so nice that we're seeing more of it.
Yeah, it's really nice. Like, it's a really nice thing to be able to do, and it's like positive like 99% of the time, which is it's really rewarding.
How has social media changed you on a personal level? Like, looking back at the older version of yourself, what would be kind of the biggest changes that you've noticed?
I think I'm a lot more confident than I was a year ago. I've always been kind of shy. I don't know if shy is the right word, but I'm definitely an introvert, so I get really drained in like social situations, and I just need time on my own to recharge. But I think it's just talking more to a camera, but also the running side of it has made me confident in other areas of life other than just fitness. Like, I think it's just because if you know that you can push yourself to do a certain thing and then you do it, it gives you confidence in other aspects of life that I honestly never even thought running would make a difference. So yeah, I think I'm just a lot more confident in the things that I have to say as well, because I wasn't particularly sporty, I just didn't think I had really much ground to speak about things related to fitness, if you know what I mean. I didn't really feel like I was any sort of like authority figure. And there's definitely things like I know that I don't offer, and there's a reason to that. Like, I'm not an expert. I'm never going to be an expert, and I never claim to be. But yeah, I just think I feel more confident in the message that I'm trying to spread, and I just feel more confident in my ability to do things. And I think actually there's a lot of people that benefit from running. Like, if you can get through something that in the moment is so hard, and in your head you're like beating yourself up, you're like, I can't do this, and then you actually do it, it does just change you, I think, as a person in a way, which is crazy to think that it can, but Yeah, there's just so many benefits to it outside of just fitness. And I think that hand in hand with the social media stuff, which, is characteristically probably slightly out of my comfort zone, just because of the kind of person that I am. I quite like to be at home. Like, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's been a funny one. I wouldn't have thought I was where I am now. Like a few years ago, I would have like laughed in your face or something. Like I've ran a marathon and I've talked about things online in front of loads of people. No.
It's absolutely incredible. I feel like it's almost like proving that voice in your head wrong and just being
Yeah.
like, oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm good at this. I've got this. You're obviously in the plant-based pace and you share a lot about your diet on social media. Have you always been plant-based and how is it to be a plant-based runner?
I went plant-based, ooh, four, it's hard, I'm losing track, 3, 4 years ago, maybe more, but I was veggie for a couple of years before that as well. Just never really loved meat that much. I don't know, it doesn't do a lot for me. And it's fine. It's like, I think there is more to think about because when you run, or when especially long distance, I don't think people understand like how much you actually have to eat sometimes. And you'll be amazed at how hungry you are just from moving your body more. And also, I think you just need to be more aware of different things that you're putting in your body, like making sure you're eating loads of carbs, and then also the protein side of things as well. I'm a very much like I consider myself plant-based, but I'm also, I mean, it's similar to the running thing. I'm not like so strict on it. Like if we go on holiday or if I can't get a vegan snack, like I'll just have something that's vegetarian. I don't like the just this really strict approach to life just really doesn't suit me. I need flexibility to be like a happier person. But yeah, it's I think there was so many like resources now, like TikTok especially, and trying to eat well but also satisfy like cravings and things is really easy to do as a vegan when you've got so many amazing like content creators that create amazing food. So yeah, I have it's funny because it's because I was veggie for so long, it was a relatively easy transition for me. It just started off with like cutting out like eggs and milk and butter and getting those, dairy-free alternatives. So it didn't feel like so much of like a shock, I guess. It's just that like, yeah, I eat way more when I'm in, especially when I'm like mid to end of the training block as well, my appetite just goes like straight through the roof.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I feel like that as well. And I'm like, am I eating too much? Am I snacking too often?
No.
Because it feels like you're always hungry or always craving something. But yeah, I think it's so great that we start to normalize just feeling your body properly and not running past it or anything like that.
Yeah, and there's loads of research that's come out recently about, especially for women, how running fasted is just like really not beneficial. I think it's each to their own, and you should always go off how you feel, but especially for longer runs, like fuel is so important, the days before, the morning of. And then I posted a reel the other day about how much I ate for one of the training runs that I did. And I was watching it back and I was like, wow, I did it. I ate quite a lot. But it's just like, I would so much rather do that than get to a point where you're, because as soon as you're mid run and you've not eaten enough and your energy's like down here, I think it's game over. Like I think that's what the wall is. It's like maybe you're just not eating enough, and I'd rather overeat during a run and feel a bit sick than just completely crash.
I mean, nutrition is more important than ever for you now that you're training for your first ultra. What are your go-to meals and snacks at the minute?
Ooh. Overnight oats, I really love, just so easy. I'm not really like, I mean, to be totally honest, I've not had breakfast this morning. I'm not really a big breakfast person because I didn't make my oats last night. So I'm just like, oh, I'll just skip it and have like a Huel after or something, which is not the best. But I really love anything like noodle based. So I have this like satay noodle tofu dish that I make on repeat because it takes like 15 minutes. I am really not, I used to love cooking when I was younger, but I don't know what's happened. I just have no patience anymore for anything that takes longer than like 20 minutes. Lunches, I just love like a sandwich or a wrap that has like maybe like chickpeas, bit of like vegan mayo, stuff like that. And I probably eat majority between like Italian food and then maybe like Thai and Cantonese, I would say. Those are like my favorite kind of things, and they're usually pretty quick and easy to make as well. Yeah, I really like these like big, I say salads, but they're like dense. They're not like a few, like the salads from Pret that are like 5 quid, but you get like two leaves in there. Like big things with like, you can make croutons really easily just with like bread that you have, balsamic vinegar, avocado, chickpeas. There's this really good vegan like tuna by Squeaky Bean that I have religiously. It's so good. And recently, actually, just because I struggle sometimes to, I think because we're on the move so much, working so much, that when it comes to the end of the day and I'm like, I need to cook, I've had to delete like delivery from my phone because it got to a point, especially in London where there's so much choice. There's like, I'm getting delivery once or twice a week, and it's just not great for my bank, but also like I could be making healthier choices. So I've started to order some frozen meals that have been such a lifesaver when I have zero energy. So anything that can just make my life a bit easier is a big win, and also makes me feel better as well. I'm actually about to start, I started filming it yesterday for a YouTube video that I'm doing where I'm gonna try and aim to eat 30 different plants a week, which is kind of like recommended for gut health, essentially, by Tim Spector, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but I do like the idea of eating loads of different. I think variety is one thing that I lack, just because I'm such a routine person. I know what I like, that sometimes I don't like to stray from it. So I'm excited to be doing that.
I'm like that sometimes as well, especially because I'm vegetarian as well and dairy free. So I only eat eggs, really, like from animal products. And I aim to eat 30 different like fruits and vegetables every week as well. But it's just hard sometimes. And you go from like your usual stuff, like easy things that, I have a salad that I make all the time, or I have like a recipe with beans that I always like to make. And it feels like I just go for the same things. And I'm like, oh, I should go and kind of find some new recipes on the internet because I feel like I keep repeating the same things over and over again and not diversifying my diet a lot.
Yeah, I just feel like it's something you have to constantly be thinking about to be able to get that many plants in. So I'd love it to be part of, if I feel like if I do it for a month, then or maybe that's like a routine, and it will just be easier for me to know what veg works well with what particular dish. Because I just stick to like my, I've got like three favorite veg, and it's, I just don't really divert from that just because I know that I love it so much. I know how to cook it and everything. So yeah, I'm hoping that this is gonna open my mind to more fruit and veg. We'll see.
I was looking through your Instagram posts yesterday and I saw that you are posting longer and longer runs. How does your training look like now that you're training for an ultra marathon?
I've started my deload now, which is really nice. But before that, it's actually quite a short training block, and that was like totally my own fault. I knew that I wanted to run an ultra marathon by the end of the year, and this was, I think, as you get into November, December in the UK, there's not really that many, especially not many ones that people had recommended. So I knew that this is the one that I wanted to do. So I started it a little bit too late. So I gave myself 10 weeks. I think my marathon was 16 weeks, maybe. So quite a bit less. But I'm hoping that because I've got all those miles from the marathon that I did in April, and I've been doing long distance running in between that, that I'm going to be okay. But I do three runs a week. So I do one easy run, one interval or tempo run, and then a long run. I think three runs a week for me kind of works. I'd love to get it up to four, but I don't know. I feel like for me at the minute, three is the sweet spot. And yeah, I had my peak week last week or the week before where I think I ran about 50K. So it's the same length that my run is going to be overall throughout that whole week. So yeah, I did that 38 kilometer run, which was, it was hard, but it was doable, which it fills you with confidence when you have that the longest run that you're going to have. And then going into the marathon, into the ultra in less than 2 weeks now. But yeah, I would normally like love to give myself more time, and I think I would recommend to everyone that give yourself as much time as possible, but it's just really something that I really wanted to get done by the end of the year. And it's been, this training block has been so much less emotional than my marathon one. I feel like my marathon one, because it's like the first things that you do, like the first time you get to a half marathon, the first time you get to 32K, it's so hard. And I cried so many times mid-run just because I was enjoying it in a weird way. But it's just like, I think when your body is under that much pressure, and you've got to have so much mental strength to actually just get through it, it can make you a lot more emotional. So for me, I loved my training journey for my marathon, but my emotions were just like this all the way through. Whereas for this one, I think because I've done a lot of these distances before, I kind of knew that I could do it and I knew what to expect as well. So I think the more that you do it, it's gonna, I'm interested to see like what my training is gonna be like in a year. Like, I don't know, because it just feels so much more doable. So I think for this training block, I felt a lot more confident, a lot more capable. I've had a few things where I was ill, I was really ill for a full week, so I had to miss a full week of training. And then a couple of weeks ago, my calf started to hurt after my 38K. And I think it's just like overexertion. So I've had to kind of miss a few things out, which I didn't do so much in my marathon training. So that's like a new thing, just trying to get out of your own head and know that, you know, you can do it and you're going to get ill during a training block, probably because you're doing it for, it's spread over quite a, you know, a decent amount of time. And yeah, now I've got 2 runs left this week, and then I have 1 run next, well, 2 runs next week, one of them being the ultra. So yeah, it's come around so quickly.
It's going to be so exciting. I'm so looking forward to the content that you're going to post around it. And obviously, if you're going to film at the Ultra during the race, are you planning to film it?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a YouTube video on it for sure, like a longer one, and then yeah, there'll be a couple of reels about it as well. I think we might try and hire a drone for the YouTube video. I don't know, I've never flown a drone before. I mean, I won't be flying it because I'll be running, but yeah, I just want to try and make it as engaging and as fun as possible. So yeah, we'll see.
I mean, the other exciting project in your life that you're working on in the background is your run, the platform that you're planning to launch very
Yeah.
soon to help more people, more runners more specifically, to connect with each other. What was the inspiration behind it? Could you reveal a little bit more about how it's going to be like?
It actually wasn't my idea. I was chatting to Josh, my boyfriend, and we were just talking about how we could connect, well, how I could connect other runners, because I knew that there was people out there that similar to me aren't focused on running really fast, and they want to find other people like that, because I think most run clubs, they say they're inclusive, but they're not. I've been to them where they'll be like, this is the pace, and then they just shoot off and you're left at the back, like, great. And it's the worst feeling ever, especially if you're on your own. It's really not a nice feeling. And you don't know the route, and it's just horrible. I hate that, and I hate the thought of other people feeling that way as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got some friends that have incredible inclusive run clubs in London, but for the majority of them, they're not as inclusive as I would like them to be. So we were just talking about how it could connect other runners. And so I did an Instagram post a while ago that was a video where I was just saying, like, comment the city or the country that you're from, and you know, other people who are from that area can find you, and maybe you can connect me up and go for a run. And it was kind of building on that, and figuring out how I can do that in an easier scale, an easier way, and also slightly more at scale. So then Josh had the idea of the app, and I was like, I'm gonna take that. It's a fantastic idea, thank you. And it's basically going to be an app that will allow runners, hopefully from all over the world, to join a run club or create their own run club. But the thing that makes it unique is that I, for example, have a very certain way that I like to run, which obviously, as we know, is slow. So I could say, okay, I'm going to set up a female-only run club. This is going to be the pace. This is the distance. And afterwards, we're going to meet up at this pub or this cafe, and we can like meet and chat and stuff. And that's what it's going to be, but for kind of like everyday runners as well. So everyone is going to be able to create a run that they would actually want to join, because there's going to be so many other people in their area that want a similar thing. And you know, I think they don't want to go to park run because there's too many people that go and it's not really community driven. You kind of show up and then you leave. This is going to be a lot more focused around creating that community, making sure that people have the option to organize like a meetup spot afterwards and get to know each other. And there'll be like forums on there, like message pages, so people can keep up to date with the run that they've joined. Like, is they can create recurring runs and be the leader of their own run clubs. And it should just be a really good way for people to find clubs, because at the minute, like, even Strava, I was on that app the other day, and obviously I use Strava to track runs and stuff, and I was like, oh, what's their run club search like? And you go on there and I'm like, okay, I want to find a run club in London, and it just brings up all of these like Nike, Hoka, like all the brands, and I'm like, that's really not useful at all. Because all these brand run clubs have like thousands and thousands of people in them. So even Strava's function for finding a run club is really hard. And I think the only way you can find an actual run club is if they're big on social media, which 95% of the time they're probably not. It's just word of mouth. So I just wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to find and join run clubs that they don't find intimidating and they know that is going to match their preferences. And yeah, it's still being made at the minute. We actually, our housemate, Jake, who's one of Josh's best friends, is a developer. He's like super, super smart. And I was just chatting to him about the idea. And he was like, no, I'm not going to have time to do that. And then literally a week later, he'd built like V1 of the app. I was like, okay, great. But how? So it's still being done at the minute. We've got loads more testing to do and like updating some things, but I'm hoping that it will be out some point in October. And yeah, I'm hoping that people use it, because that's kind of what it relies on. That's the thing. It's like, we need as many people on there creating runs or joining runs across the UK and hopefully the rest of the world. But yeah, it's exciting.
It's such a brilliant idea. And to think that from that little post on TikTok, you've got now such a big community and you've even got an app. It's absolutely crazy. I think it's amazing. It just shows the power of, you know, doing something that you're passionate about and then finding that courage to open up about it and build that community around it. And I think it's amazing. I'm so looking forward to it and I'll definitely try it. And I totally agree with what you said earlier about run clubs. Because I do feel I'm based in Newcastle and I do feel like you see this a lot. And even if you've been a runner for a while, I think it still can feel intimidating, let alone if you're a new runner. It's something that a lot of people just feel excluded from. And it's such a great opportunity. And also it makes it so easy to use as well for people, which is what we all want.
Fingers crossed.
You've got these huge plans for 2024. Can I ask you, what are your goals for the next 12 months? So thinking of 2025, what would be your plans and what would be your running goals?
In terms of running goals, I don't have like this big end goal. I know people have like one huge goal and they do little things to kind of work up to it. I'm very much like I need to get through the thing that I'm doing before I then know what I'm going to do. I think as soon as I finished the marathon, I was like, I'm going to do an ultra marathon, because it was eight kilometers more to do a 50K. And I was like, I know I can do that. And it's like these little jumps outside of your comfort zone. So like you start off here and then you end up all the way over here just because of the small things that you've done, which for me is like, I don't really like change. I'm not a huge risk taker, I would say. So I like to comfortably like crawl out of my comfort zone, try something. I'm like, okay, that was fine. Go a bit further. So I've been reflecting on like what I could do after the 50, and I was thinking like, would I ever do 100K? Like, that feels like the next thing, but I'm like, I don't know. I think it depends how horrible I feel after the 50, because I don't think I ever want to sign up to something knowing that I'm probably gonna dislike it. I think that's the thing that's kept me consistent. I've not really disliked any of the things that I've done. It's like, I always want to do more, so I'm just very mindful of, I think you can overdo it. I think as people, like, we do one thing and we're like, okay, well, that's not good enough now. I need to do something bigger and better. And I don't want to get into that mindset. I want to do it because I genuinely want to do it. So I think I'll need to reflect a bit after my 50K, depending on how it goes. If it goes really well, I might sign up to like a 75 or something before I do the full 100. But I did see a video of someone doing 100K and I was like, it's insane. I just can't wrap my head around how people actually do that. And then more like outside of running, obviously with the app, I hope that we're in a really good place this time next year and we have loads of users and things. And yeah, I've also been focusing a lot more on YouTube as a channel and just kind of building an audience on there. I just find it easier because there's so much more that you can say on there than in like a 1 minute Instagram video. So I've really been enjoying that, and I'm, enjoying how building that side of it is going, because it is a slightly different audience to people that follow me on Instagram, which is cool that I'm still discovering other people and other ways to communicate with them as well. And yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll do a triathlon, who knows? Don't have a bike, but
It all sounds really exciting. Are you the type of person who writes down their goals at the start of the year?
I love the idea of it, but no, I'm not a New Year's resolution person. I don't write physical goals down. I love the idea of it, and I understand why people do it. I've tried to do it before. I write it down, forget I've written it down, never look at it again, and I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote that down like 6 months ago and I haven't done anything about it. I think the things that I really like want to do, that I will just do them. I don't need to write them down to remember them. So I think, yeah, it's just not for me. It's the same with like kind of journaling and things like that. I've tried it, but I think I just get too in my own head when I start to write things like that out, and I'd rather just have a random thought that comes to my, like when I did the marathon, I had no plans to do a marathon, and then it just came to me and I was like, I'm gonna do a marathon, rather than trying to plan things out, because then I think I just get a bit like let down if I don't do them as well. Do you know what I mean? If it's like written down, it feels too official. So I just rather go with the flow and yeah, feel the goals as they come to me and kind of think if it's something that I want to do or not. But I would love to. I just like the idea of having like a new planner every year and like fresh start and writing down all the goals, but no, I don't do that.
But I feel like it gives you more freedom as well because you can just adjust your goals. And then, as you said, if you really want to do something, you will, because it's always there in the back of your mind and kind of always go back to it. And it's a good tactic because you also kind of shape your goals around, what you are currently doing and where you're currently at. So it's not like something that, you randomly thought of in January and then you forget about by June.
I think as well that they always change your goals as well. So it's like I never want to set myself something and then like maybe I was feeling like really overly optimistic and then I actually don't hit the goal, or I really undershoot and then, do you know what I mean? Like I'd rather just have a bit more flexibility. I feel like everything is coming back to like flexibility, flexibility in my diet, flexibility in running. Yeah.
But that's so good. I mean, I feel like it's so good that we're not as rigid as we used to with our lives, essentially, whether it's our diets, our training plans, our life in general. I feel like it's good that we just give us this flexibility. It's so much more liberating, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as well, it's for me, it's been the reason that I've actually stayed consistent, because I used to think that you have to be like an all or nothing person to do like reach crazy goals. But I think actually, if you make it easier for yourself and you enjoy it, you're way more likely to stick to it. And that's what I've done over the last year and a bit, and it's worked really, really well. So I'm, yeah, so it's like little and often rather than like full on is, yeah, for me. I think that will probably suit most people as well, especially people that are, working 9 to 5s and stuff. You don't really have the time to be all in, if you're doing things like long distance running. So yeah.
Oh, 100%. My final question to you is, why do you run and what do you love about running?
I run because it's the only thing, like the only form of exercise that I've ever done, that if I do it consistently, so for me 3 times a week, that my mood is so much more stable. Like I go to the gym, I've done yoga before and all that stuff, and it nothing has the same impact that running has on my mental health. It just makes me less stressed. I'm much more calm and I can think about things in a much clearer way than if I'm not running. Like if I have to have a week off running, or I'm ill, or I'm recovering from something, I feel it like in my body. I'm a lot more just a lot more stressed, a lot more in my own head than if I'm consistently running. So that's kind of why I run again, I guess, and also why I love to run, just because like mentally it has like the best effect on my body. But then I also love doing things that I never thought that I would ever be doing. Like I never thought I'd be a long distance runner, and for me that's really cool. I finally feel like I have a hobby. I never thought I had a hobby before, and now I feel like I can confidently say that I do have one. So yeah.
It's amazing, and I think it's such a beautiful way to end a podcast on. I do also have a quick fire round of questions if you're up for it. So, what's your favorite season for running?
Oh, for running, autumn.
What's your favorite place to run?
In nature, somewhere outside of London.
Have you got a particular area?
We spend quite a bit of time in the Cotswolds, and I love it over there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Favorite post-run snack?
Ooh, I'm not a big eater. Probably like a protein shake post run because I don't get hungry till a few hours after.
Ooh, that sounds very healthy. And finally, what's your favorite song to listen to on a run?
Oh my God, there's so many. Anything Taylor Swift or Chapel Run's new, well, it's not new anymore, but her album is new to me, and I've been listening to that for the last 2 weeks, like on repeat on my runs.
These were all of my questions to you, Emily. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you again for coming on the show. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you, and I'm so looking forward to seeing the app, seeing the content that you're going to post for the Around the Ultra Marathon. You got such a great community, and I'm so glad that we've managed to connect through your page. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I've had a really nice time.
Thank you so much for listening to Why Running. If you love this episode, then please leave me a review and share this podcast on your social media. And if you'd like to hear more from me, then make sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. I'll see you next time.